More than 15% of the CU's population are Black, but not all were born in America. The Congolese population has grown in the area to over 6,000 residents.
I think sitting in your truth as a Black journalist is knowing and having the discretion and the discernment to know when a story is worth covering and when it's not.
Now tell me, what is something special that happens when you have all these Black people coming together and singing about God?
What's up, everybody? It's me, your man, Will Downing, a.k.a. the Prince of Sophisticated Soul, the Posse of the P-O-S-S, putting the very talented women in the spotlight today on The Wind Down.
A long time ago.
What's good, y'all? You are listening to Code Switch, the show about race and identity from NPR. I'm Gene Demby. On this episode, we're revisiting what it means to find your place as a Christian when churches are so racially segregated.
From Illinois Soul, this is Dialogue. I'm Kennedy Vincent. February 1st means a lot to us here at Illinois Public Media. On this day in 2024, a new sound hit the airwaves of Champaign-Urbana.
Welcome to Illinois Soul, Illinois Public Media's all-new station highlighting Black experiences, celebrating Black culture, elevating Black voices, and showcasing Black music.
With the blessing of NAACP Director Minnie Pearson.
For me, it was a huge deal.
And a proclamation from both the Champaign-Urbana mayors.
And now, therefore, we, Deborah Frank Finan, mayor of the city of Champaign, and Diane Wolf Marlin, mayor of the city of Urbana, do hereby proclaim February 1st, 2024, as Illinois Soul Day.
A first of its kind station was born. Illinois Soul features R&B, neo soul, smooth jazz, and gospel. And hearing from Black voices all over our community, alongside NPR News programs like Morning Edition, 1A, Code Switch, Reveal, and of course, this show, Dialogue, an exchange of culture straight from the soul. Some of my favorite moments from this past year was the maternal health segment that we worked on. I really wanted to take our time with this segment, speaking to doulas, young moms, mothers who have been through so much to be here today and to tell their stories. I wanted to honor their birth stories, honor their children, honor their wombs, and working on this story really opened my eyes and made me want to shout from the rooftops. Like, everyone should know this information. And I'm incredibly grateful that I was able to speak with mothers about this.
The maternal mortality, infant mortality rate here in the United States for African-American women or women of the African diaspora is 3.9 times higher than it is anywhere else.
Another one of my favorite shows was going into the Congolese community and speaking with all of the beautiful people about their culture and their journey to America, being able to hear all of their stories about sacrifice and survival when they came to Champaign and Urbana was beyond inspiring. Going into Le Gourmet Cuisine and speaking with Christelle about all the incredible food she makes to serve this community, it was something that really hit home. As a child of an immigrant, I can only fathom what it was like coming here and being on this journey. And again, I'm so grateful to have been able to speak with so many beautiful people in the Congolese community here and help share their stories.
First up, we say it looks like it's not only being immigrant. It looks like having something like your own company here, not easy too, I have to say that. Not easy, but when you got also your community support, he can help you to go far, you know.
Because everyone's journey and story is worthy of sharing, no matter where you come from. We all have an origin story, and it really meant a lot that the Congolese community was so open to speaking with me. Today we welcome Illinois Soul director Jill Clements.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Illinois Public Media's News and Public Affairs Director, Reginald Hardwick.
Hello.
Two fearless and instrumental leaders in the launch of Illinois Soul to talk about how a dream became a cultural and community touchstone. Reginald, 1 year ago, Illinois Public Media launched Illinois Soul. What gap did you see in our community that made you say, we need this station and we need it now?
I think it's the gap that most people who either have lived here all their lives, like Jill, or who moved here, like myself, you know, you're scanning up and down the radio dial and you're just not hearing yourself. And I've heard that so many times, whether it's folks at the U of I or out in the community. You just didn't hear the music, you didn't hear our culture discussed, you didn't hear news, and there was just really no connection, even though that the Black community makes up 13 to 15%, sometimes 20% of different communities here in Central Illinois. So Illinois Soul is, you know, we can't do everything, but we're doing a lot of things to really bring a lot of awareness and discussion about the Black community in Central Illinois to the forefront.
Yes. Black radio has been a cornerstone of our community for generations. And Jill, you are a lifelong resident here in Champaign and Urbana, and you've done incredible things in your career. What did Black radio mean to the community, and how does Illinois Soul carry that legacy forward today?
We've had it, we've lost it, and thank goodness we've got it back bigger, better than ever. When it started in my lifetime, it was just a Sunday night thing, like from 7 to midnight. That's all we had. But we all listened to it. It was coming out of everybody's car. So that was Ernie Westfield's show. From there, we had BCP. And we had BCP for over 25 years. So we did have it, and it carried the Tom Joyner Morning Show and all that. But that went silent after the owners passed. But we started doing community engagement shows at Illinois Public Media with News, Brews, and Beats. And we were focused on cultivating a Black audience. And from there, we could see with the standing room only, the need was there. The gap needed to be filled. And, you know, Moss, our executive director, was determined to do it in 365 days. And we did it. And that was the launch of Illinois Soul.
The community was consulted heavily during the formation of Illinois Soul. Can you walk us through what that was like?
We were out and about. We gathered information. We did our due diligence out in the community at different organizations, events, community events, and we surveyed folks. And we brought people in, and we had focus groups to find out what the needs of the community was and what they expected out of this new media platform, you know, that speaks to our demographic of Black adults, 30 and older. You know, what are the needs? What is it supposed to sound like? What is it supposed to do? And that is what traditional Black radio is all about. Radio has always been the number one medium for African Americans since the beginning of time, more so than television.
The public's discussion, asking them what kind of music they wanted, what kind of news they wanted, was really critical. We didn't ever want to just say, here's the station and, you know, hope you're happy and listen to it. It's just been really critical to get that feedback.
Yeah, and we continue to get that feedback every time we're out and about. We're always asking. We have the hotline that you can call, leave us information. So we listen, we check, and we execute.
Every time I've turned on Illinois Soul, it has been just the vibe I wanted. I'm super happy with the station.
I'm calling to say I'm loving Illinois Soul because I am grown and sexy. That's why I know Illinois Soul was built with me.
Hello, I just wanted to say I am listening to Illinois Soul. I am absolutely delighted with the evening jazz segment and the afternoon throwback jam.
Illinois Soul has been my go-to station all day, every day since y'all launched. That's when you opened up your heart and you told me to come and find my love.
Take us back to those first days of 2024. It's the launch of Illinois Soul, the start of Black History Month. What were you both feeling, and how did the team navigate all of that?
I do think it's important for people to understand, you know, we didn't really even have a budget line for this.
Right.
You know, we were using really existing operations, and we did have to, the studio that we're sitting in right now, you know, really had to be rebuilt. And because everything's on computers, we had to purchase a system that has the songs and schedules them and does it via AI. And also, you know, Jill and I and other people did a lot of this while we're doing our other full-time roles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly a passion project. And we reached out and we created a community advisory panel made up of half university professionals and community leaders. We just got a lot of love and support along the way. And really the big thing was there's no other station in the country that has this format of R&B music, neo soul, black news talk. It doesn't exist. So, you know, there was concern of would this work? How would this work? You know, no one else is doing this. Why do you think you can do it? And hey, here we are.
This first year has been packed with incredible moments, from hosting Selena Johnson in concert to launching the Uncorked series. Tell us about bringing these events to life and what has this meant for our station and for our community.
It's our signature. You know, when you hear us, we want high quality. Everything that we do on Illinois Soul is high quality. So from how we sound to when you see us. And we were fortunate enough to partner with Krannert Center, and it gets no better than that. It is our dream partnership. We are going to be rocking over 7 concerts in the month of February during our 1-year anniversary.
Yes.
Yeah, seven.
Show
we're
up.
Ready. Let's go.
And I think there's an umbrella effect. You know, we talk about Krannert. Krannert is seeing a whole different audience that, and they've told us, and to have Selena Johnson the day after Juneteenth filling the entire stage 5,
mm-hmm,
I think that's what
five.
It is.
Yes.
Yeah, and just with hundreds of people. Usually everything goes quiet, you know, in the middle of the summer, and people are like, well, there's no students here. What is there to do? Well, we knew there's a community here and there's projects and programs that we want to present, and they're going to show up and respond. And also, I think our underwriting, thanks to Jill, we have community partners who you may hear their announcements, like CU Public Health. They're specifically targeted to the Black community. Also, the University of Illinois. There's a misnomer out there on that you have to have a degree to work at the University of Illinois, or you have to have gone here, or the only jobs that are custodial, you know. We're helping the U of I better that relationship, which is very tense, to let them know there are opportunities here and you are welcome south of University Avenue.
Yeah, absolutely. And Reginald and I are also, you know, very focused on connecting with Black businesses here in the community and helping them become registered vendors with the University of Illinois so they can do business with any entity at the university. So we've done over a dozen so far, you know, and more to come.
This is Aitha Winston. My top 5 R&B artists are Drew Hill, Dave Hollister, Faith Evans, En Vogue, and Chris Brown.
This is your boy A+, and my top five R&B artists are, of course, Mint Condition, Raheem Devine, Dwele, Brandé, and the amazing Layla Hathaway.
Hi, this is Crystal Womble. My top five R&B artists are Curtis Mayfield, Marvin Gaye, Chaka Khan, Michael Jackson, and Prince.
Wherever I go, somebody's giving me their top five. I love it. And I'm always surprised what they tell me, too. So I'm like, really? Okay, D'Angelo, for real? Okay.
Yes.
So, I mean, you would be surprised. And at Krannert Center, it's amazing because at the last Uncorked, we had Dexter O'Neal. And I can't tell you how many people came up to us on site to donate. They put their money where their mouth is, and we're so appreciative.
Looking ahead to year two, what is the vision for Illinois Soul's growth and its continued role in our community? Jill, we have our one-year anniversary concert coming up with
Jane Eugene. Tonight. The sold-out event is tonight.
Tell us, what can the people expect?
Oh, we're gonna do it. We're doing it, and we're doing it big. So the pre-party is tonight at 5:30 at Stage 5 with Dexter O'Neal, followed by folks who have the tickets to go in to see Loose Ends. So we are gonna party big time in there with lots of fun surprises in store. And then immediately following that, the after party is downtown at Neal Street Blues. But going forward, even beyond that, you know, I'm most proud of the quality of Illinois Soul, the high quality of Illinois Soul, from when you see us to when you hear us. So we just really are looking forward to super serving even more, you know, this year. So the big picture is we're here to stay, and we're looking to build a bridge to continue to connect all our communities, from the North End to the university to beyond. Yeah, we're not new to this. We're true to this. So
yes, I love that local flavor. Jill Clements and Reginald Hardwick, thank you so much for being here.
Anytime, Kennedy.
Thank you.
Love you.
Now, if you've been anywhere near a radio or music venue, you know Loose Ends, and you know Jane Eugene's voice, the sound of an era, of soul, of timeless music. In this episode, she shares how she got started, how music became her language, and what it's like to still be in the conversation decades later. In the vibrant landscape of 1980s Britain, three young black musicians came together to create a sound that would define a generation. Loose Ends blended the emerging new wave movement with their unique perspective as they crafted a legacy that continues to influence artists today. Their 1985 hit, Hangin' on a String, has over 18 million streams on Spotify alone. And their journey from the streets of Britain to international acclaim wasn't just about the music. It was about breaking barriers, challenging expectations, and creating space for diverse voices in an industry that wasn't always welcoming. Please welcome founding member of Loose Ends, Jane Eugene, to Dialogue.
Hi, how are you, Kennedy? Nice to meet you.
I'm great. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, I'm glad I could get on.
Well, Jane, take us back to 1980s Britain. What was it like for three young...
Oh, my God.
What a time, right? What made you say yes to this journey? And how old were you when it all began?
I was 18 years old. I met Steve Nicol, who's the, really the founding member, who said that he wanted to start a band. That's my family right there. We actually went to a college party. I was at the London College of Music, and Steve was there because he was going to the Royal College of Music. And he was talking to one of my girlfriends, Debbie. He was trying to chat her up, actually. I heard him say, oh, he's going to start a band. And for some reason, I said, oh, I'll come and sing with you. And it was really just like that. And we met Mr. McIntosh when we were actually looking to put together a gigging band, as it were. Believe it or not, I used to go to Steve's house. We used to write songs. One of the first songs we ever did that was signed to Virgin Records was In the Sky, which was written by Steve and his sister-in-law at the time.
Who were your musical inspirations?
Oh my God. Of course, I love Evelyn Champagne King. I really, if somebody was going to do a personal concert for me, it would have been between Phyllis Hyman and Evelyn Champagne King.
Can you take us into those early recording sessions and describe what the music scene was like then? You know, where'd the band hang out?
Oh my God, you definitely go like back. Like, oh God. Well, the first recordings we did was with producers that really produced pop music. They didn't produce R&B because we were produced in England. And we had producers that basically we did not think were the right mix for us. So we were looking for a producer that had a more soulful EQs, more soulful take on producing a song. So we ended up with Mr. Mick Martinelli, who was actually doing lots of productions for Mick Clark at Virgin Records at the time. And we said, we'd like a producer just like that, like him. And once we got to Mick Martinelli, the rest was history. But what it was with Nick is that Nick knew all of the soulful EQs, all of the soulful sounds. He came from Philadelphia. We had that kind of a Philadelphia English sound. When you were in the studio, we would bring over the song. When we first met Nick, I tell you no lie, we did not know song structure, which meant, you know, like you have a chorus, then you had the verses, then you had the middle eight at the time, and then you go back to the chorus. He actually taught us that. We had like 12 verse songs. They went on forever. So Nicky taught us a lot. Nicky was really our North Star.
Loose Ends wasn't just a band. It was a movement, a shift in how people think about soul music and its place in history. For Jane, being a part of that legacy is something she takes seriously. But it's also something that's still evolving. The music still resonates across generations.
You're young, you're eager, you're passionate, you are really excited because we were recording in America. First time for me to fly, even have a passport at that time. So we were just eager to get our music out and get it produced properly. And Nicky was just like a brilliant producer because he wasn't trying to be all over the album. What he was trying to do was bring together, the old way of producing was bringing an album together and making you your best. It's like if I saw you and I said, well, how can I make her better? I don't want people to see me. I want people to see Kennedy. And he also taught us a lot. I had a lot of work to do. The guys were really good musicians. They learned a lot, but I really learned a lot about recording, you know, being on the microphone, doing it over and over and over again, learning how to track vocals, learning how to track choruses. People don't realize back in the day, there was so many background vocals that were all compressed down to like a couple of channels to make it sound like you hear
like slow down, right? But there was loads of harmony, you know, and lots of local people would come in. There's lots of local people from Philly on Loose End Songs, including musicians, bass players, guitarists, piano players, Donald Robinson, Doug Grisby was on there.
In this journey of yours, what accomplishment brings you the most pride?
I think one of the things that Carl brought to the Loose End situation is that we would fast and pray every day when we were doing our album. So it became more of a spiritual thing. And I think when you listen to the album, people feel amazing things from listening to our music. Is this our destiny? Right, I used to get people who would write to us and say, it got me through my divorce, it got me through hard times, especially stuff like, you can't stop the rain, you know, slow down. It really means more to them than we ever thought. But I think because we started off with prayer and then we went into studio and we created, there's something in those songs that does a lot more medicine for people than what you even imagine. You don't imagine that when you're young. Right? To think that this music has lasted since 1980, and what are we in now? 2025. No, I never thought it would last that long.
What is that spiritual practice and the medicine of crafting and weaving all of the harmonies and melodies and just over the years building your spiritual connection with the music? What has that done for you now, where you are now?
The younger you are, the more into yourself you are. Right? You want to, you know, it's about me. Is my lipstick right? Is my hair done? You know, am I looking? And this, that, and the other. As you get older, you realize you're not here for yourself. You're here for the love that you give, the love you make, and the love you share. And that you realize we're much more connected than what we think we are, right? Music becomes the great equalizer, really. Because you don't know people, you don't know who's gonna like your music. You don't know who's not gonna like your music, right? But you find that you get fans and people who it means a lot to, kind of medicine. I'm sure you have like music you can cry to, music you can laugh to, music that makes you feel good or reminds you of friends and family or Christmases or holidays, just lots of different things. It becomes a backdrop to your life because when you think about, say, Prince or Luther Vandross. I remember seeing the Luther Vandross documentary recently. Who he's one of one. And I remember these songs and I'm like, oh, I remember that. And I remember with my girlfriend and Cheryl, which is my best friend. I remember when we was dancing to that, you know, and blah, 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 blah. And to think that people feel the same about Loose End songs. They remember when they first heard it. They remember what they were going through. And they've grown with you. You know, you're looking at these people that when Loose Ends came out, that was club music. We were the Cardi B. What has been most amazing to me, younger people are now knowing my song, like You Can't Stop the Rain, or our song, I should say, the original Loose Ends. And you think of a song that you wrote almost 40 years ago, means something to young people, because then I saw it on TikTok, which might be gone by next week, right? Right? People roller skating to it, people making cakes to it. You know how they do, they use it as the backdrop. And I thought, this is amazing. This is a song that we wrote almost 40 years ago. Who would have thought that they would be using it? Yes. Like that. And so I've got people who are 20 coming up to me and saying, oh, I like your song. And I'm thinking, how do you even know my song? Right? You weren't even born. It's truly a blessing, I'm telling you. It's the gift that keeps giving.
Jane Eugene, you're such a treat. Thank you so much for being here in this conversation.
Thank you to you. And Champaign, Illinois, we're coming. So come and get ready to get up out your chair. Yep.
Woo, yes. One year of Illinois Soul, the stories, the music, and the connections that made it all possible. And here's to the next chapter, where we'll continue to reflect, learn, and grow together. Thanks for being a part of this. Stay tuned, because the conversation isn't over.